Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Heads Up by Baja Marimba Band from 1967 on A&M Records, catalog number LP123 or SP123 for stereo.
So this album is one of my earliest acquisitions, probably from some budget bin or thrift store somewhere. Although I think this album cost $5, so it was a little bit on the pricier side, I guess.
Yeah, for an A&M record, I would say it's kind of steep.
So you want to tell us a little bit about this record, Flissy?
So this has got like the sort of early 60s palette going on. It's got a black background. It's got this sort of poppy red Baja Marimba Band heads up in this sort of mustard brownish orange and like this little hot pink flourish in there. And it has all of the Baja Marimba Band members, all their instruments, and they're all like in this sort of really campy Western / Mexican get up with sombreros and big fake mustaches and cigars and sort of tatty old clothing, lounging around their set, which looks like it might be in some warehouse or something. And on the back, it has, again, like the same sort of, I guess I would say kind of like saloonish kind of font. Heads Up Baja Marimba Band. It's got the track listing, and then it's got in little circles all of the members of the band, none of which seem to be of any sort of Latino / Mexican descent. They're all very Jewish or Italian-American sounding names, with the exception of Curry Jader, who is in fact Cal Jader's brother. And of course, on the bottom, it's got like a little couple pictures of some other Baja Marimba Band albums featured on A&M. And our copy has Gene Handy in big letters and a $5 price tag on it.
Yeah, so despite this album's cover being, you know, playing off of racial stereotypes, I think that this is the best Baja Marimba Band cover. I feel like it's just the most, the most effective overall cover art.
I don't know. I mean, it's fine, I guess.
I find it very interesting, at least I did when I first purchased this album. Mm-hmm. So why don't we get to our first clip?
All right.
So this is my pick. It is the third track on side A, and it is Winchester Cathedral. So let's take a listen. So, Flissy, what do you think of this track?
So you listeners might remember we featured the New Vaudeville Band a few weeks ago, who were the creators of the original hit, Winchester Cathedral. And I find this is like a very cheerful version of this song, but it's also like kind of muted. Like the horn section is muted. Even the marimbas sound a little bit muted. And the affected singing is a little bit more subdued. So it's like an easy listening version of this like novelty vaudeville song from the 60s, which is kind of curious to me.
Yeah, I know we didn't feature the New Vaudeville Band version of Winchester Cathedral when we did that show, because I already had intentions to feature this version, but... you know, for those of you who may have gone back and listened to the New Vaudeville Band's entire album after
our glowing 3-star review.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting in the ways that this version is, in fact, reminiscent of the New Vaudeville Band. I mean, it has that same sort of affected singing and pretty much same arrangements. But I think overall this is my preferred version. You know, maybe just because it's the first version I heard, but also I don't know. I mean, I feel like you know, this is one of the standout songs on this album, and I think it is maybe what makes this album my favorite Baja Marimba Band album. And I think that part of, you know, what I can attribute this version of the song really standing out for me is the marimbas. And, you know, I think that the marimbas are awesome, and I guess gives you a understanding of maybe why they're named the Baja Marimba Band. And, you know, one of the you know, people in the band, I guess the band leader, is Julius Wechter. And I think he is really a world-class marimba player. So
totally, yeah.
I mean, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Baja Marimba Band, Flissy?
Yeah, so as we mentioned, Julius Wechter is the leader of the Baja Marimba Band. And it really is like his band. And the way the band form is kind of interesting, we'll get around to that. So in 1958, Julius Wechter joined Martin Denny's band, where he played marimba, replacing Arthur Lyman as the marimba player. And he also played a whole bunch of other percussion instruments with Martin Denny. And 4 years later, he was paid $15 as a session musician on Herb Alpert's album, The Lonely Bull. And we've also featured Herb Alpert on the podcast, so you can go back and check out that episode. So The Lonely Bull, like Herb Alpert wrote the single for that, and that's kind of all he had. And he sort of rushed to put together a whole album to support the Lonely Bull song. And so Julius Wechter composed the Spanish Flea for Herb Alpert, which became a big hit for him. And Julius Wechter also played the marimba on all the Tijuana Brass albums. So, you know, Julius Wechter has got this super tight relationship with Herb Alpert, and it's a big part of the A&M vocabulary. So Herb Alpert encouraged Julius Wechter to form his own group, and that, of course, is the Baja Marimba Band, to help kind of cash in on this faux Mexican popularity of Herb Alpert's band, the Tijuana Brass. And we mentioned this on the other, on the episode where we talked about Herb Alpert. Like, I don't really understand, like, why does that have to be a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, the Baja Marimba Band, I guess, would open for the Tijuana Brass, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass have this, like, super clean cut look. Like, you can even see on the Herb Alpert covers, like, he and his band are all rocking these tuxedos. They're very, like, clean shaven. And I don't know why they thought it was a good idea, but they're like, okay, the Baja Marimba Band, you guys are going to be, like, the bad boys of the fake Mexican music. And so they would come out with these fake mustaches and sombreros and, like, drinking beer and smoking cigars. And they had this huge shtick that was just like this marketing circus. And we'll put a video up on the show notes. There's an episode of Hollywood Palace where Herb Alpert is hosting and Baja Marimba Band is playing. And they're, like, running around their instruments. They're all dressed up, like, in their crazy outfits. Like, there's just this huge, silly production around this band. So, like we mentioned, Julius Wechter is the band leader. And the rest of the band is made up of session musicians who primarily played with jazz musicians. So, they all have, like, some serious musical chops, which I think is all the more unfortunate that they're, like, got this stupid, racist, Mexican, fake Mexican thing going on. And there's, like, a rotating crowd of musicians. Curry Jader has played on a whole bunch of the albums, and Bud Coleman was one of the very first members of the Baja Marimba Band. He wrote a bunch of the songs. Until he died in 1967, pretty young. I think partially because of the, like, racist nature of the marketing of this band, and also like I think it's just kind of like the maybe easy listening scene of the 60s. Like it wasn't really like a very long lived band.
I don't know. I mean, they have like 10 albums or something.
I would say they're prolific, but I think like it's sort of like petered out by the like mid 70s. They didn't have quite as much going on later in the 70s. And so, but Julie Swexler did tour with Herb Alpert in the 70s after the Bahama Rumba Band had mostly dissolved. And in the mid and late 70s, he also worked on movie scores with his wife. And in addition to doing all the music stuff, he studied psychology and earned his master's in psychology. And he was the vice president of the Southern California chapter of the Tourette's Syndrome Association. So I guess in his 40s, he realized, or he found out through a doctor, that he had Tourette's, and that was like the cause of some of these like habitual tics that he was having. And I guess he got curious about it and earned his master's of psychology. And towards the end of his life, he was a marriage and family counselor, and then he died from lung cancer in 1999.
All right, well, let's get to your clip, Felicity. What did you pick?
I picked The Odd One, and it's track 5 on side 1.
And this is a song that it was written about you, right?
Maybe so.
All right, well, let's take a listen. So I think that, you know, sort of even more than the Winchester Cathedral, this song really demonstrates the fact that this is an A&M record. It definitely has that A&M house sound to it. And I don't know. I mean, it's just sort of it's just sort of pleasant and just easy to listen to, I guess, which is what makes this easy listening. I don't know. Felicity, what do you think?
Yeah, and I feel that way about much of the Bahama Rumba Band material. It's just like, it was very easy to listen to. I like this one because it kind of sounds like a soundtrack. Maybe it is, in fact, a song about me. But Julius Wechter didn't write this one. Bud Coleman wrote this one. And he played the guitar on this album and mandolin, according to the back of the sleeve. And what I like about this is it has like this very simple theme, like it's got that, and it has all these variations, like the instrumentation changes and like, you know, different instruments come in and out, and the embellishments change over the course of the very brief 2 minutes of the song. I think it's really interesting and kind of charming and cute sounding.
But you can imagine a slightly more brash and brassy version of this that would be on a Tijuana Brass album, I think.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I think, yeah, it's interesting about what you said, that it sort of sounds like a soundtrack. And I mean, that sort of gets to what I like about this album, is that I feel like sometimes this album is almost reminiscent of Ennio Morricone. And I'm a little disappointed that you didn't pick the song They Call the Wind Maria, which is the song after The Odd One, because I feel like that one in particular sounds like it could be, you know, the part of a soundtrack to one of the, you know, the Sergio Leone Western movies or something.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
And, you know, also, I just love the marimba on this. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I guess in the 60s, there was a number of artists who played, you know, marimba or vibraphone or whatever, you know, like you mentioned Cal Jader, also an Arthur Lyman. But I feel like that is definitely an instrument that doesn't get sort of as much focus these days. And it's, you know, got a really beautiful tone, I think.
It really does. I'm a big fan of marimbas. I mean, I like being a fan of exotica, marimba is a big part of that, obviously, from Arthur Lyman and Martin Denny, too.
But the thing I don't like about this album, like you alluded to in the bio, I don't really know why they had to sort of, you know, do this whole novelty act thing. I feel like they diminished themselves by doing that. And I feel like their music is good and it really could have stood on its own. And I feel like, you know, they could have really gone a slightly different direction instead of sort of being hammy and comical. They could have, you know, I mean, Ennio Morricone had a long and successful career. I feel like they could have, you know, gone more in that direction of maybe doing, you know, movie soundtracks or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Julius Spector, like I mentioned, I mean, he's definitely, you know, a world-class musician. And I don't see any reason why they couldn't have done that. Why did they, you know, sort of make themselves like, you know, limit their, I don't know. I just don't understand why they marketed themselves in this way. But of course, I wasn't alive at the time, and maybe that was really.
If they could only have consulted you, things would have worked out much better for the Baja Marimba Band.
No, I don't mean it like that. I just mean I wasn't there to understand what the situation and atmosphere like was in popular music at the time.
Yeah.
So what did you think? Let's see, what did you like? And
yeah,
same.
I mean, like. Truly, the marimbas are beautiful on this album. And I think the arrangements are so very well done. And it's Julius Wechter that's doing the arrangements on this album as well. They're like very, I think they're just very elegantly crafted. That it's easy to listen to, and it's so understated that you could miss the beauty of the marimba playing if you weren't carefully paying attention. The downside of this album is, yeah, it's totally racist. It's terrible. And I think I remember you mentioning, I don't know if you mentioned this on the podcast when we talked about Herb Alpert, but I think you said that your mom had mentioned that. I was like, oh yeah, Herb Alpert, that's totally like Mexican music. When it's not, it's like, it's not at all. Like, I can see...
Okay. Yeah, I mean, exactly. When she was young or whatever, it seemed like that was what epitomized Mexican music. And then it wasn't until later that she was like, what? That really has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, I guess I can kind of see maybe like just maybe this Southern California romanticism of like all things Mexican. But it's just. It's totally wrong. It was wrong then, and it still is wrong now, and now it looks even worse than it probably did in the 60s.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I feel like this album, despite, you know, some problematic overtones or whatever, is really a must-have for every collection. I mean, I would recommend this to anyone. I feel like it is definitely, you know, something that you want to have in your record collection. And, you know, which goes to my curiosity why no one wanted to pick it up, our extra copy that we were selling at the Baltimore Record Bazaar. People just don't know what they missed out on.
I feel like, sorry if you were at the Baltimore Record Bazaar and you were one of the people that flipped through our albums, but like there's a look of like, I range from like bemused to disgust about like how's like 80% of our records in the one box were like A&M.
Yeah, I mean, we sold like a lot of records. They were like, we sold no A&M records.
No, I'm like, y'all,
I can understand, you know, maybe you already got your Herb Alpert records from the thrift store, or maybe you're just not into Herb Alpert, but that's no reason to dismiss the rest of A&M.
I mean, like, okay, like A&M, it's so boss. Like, if you're just world is a difficult place right now, right? It's hard. Things are terrible. But A&M is like it's just like so nice. Like, it's just like very relaxing music. It's a little bit cheerful, but not like in your face. Like, Baja Marimba Band will treat you right. Or Sandpipers.
Yeah.
You know.
Or Chris Montez. Uh-huh. I mean, any.
Claudine Leger.
We Five.
Yeah.
We, you know, see, here is the breadth of things you have to look forward to in our podcast. I'm sure all of those great artists will be featured someday.
I'm sure.
The thing I'm disappointed about, though, you know, I first found out about the Baja Marimba Band, I don't know, maybe like 2000, 2001 time frame. And, you know, at the time, I really was into them. And, you know, I was into buying CDs at the time. And I found there was like, you know, maybe one Best of Baja Marimba Band or something. And I was like flabbergasted. There's, and I mean, you can look online today and there's almost no Baja Marimba Band material released digitally. And I feel like that is a real shame. I don't understand it. I mean, in like, I'm sure the rights holders aren't really like balking at making this stuff available. It's not like there's a huge market for it that, you know, they want to wait until the right deal comes along. So I don't know. I don't know what the problem is, but I feel like that's a real shame. But your only recourse is to buy it on record. But yeah, like shortly after I found out about them, you know, when I was looking into them, I found out that they had arranged, you know, maybe like the year before this reunion tour, and it ended up being canceled due to a lack of interest. And I feel like that's a real, real disappointing shame as well. And I had felt like this, you know, I was just so upset. I was like, oh, if I had only known about this like a year ahead of time, I would have gone, but I guess I wouldn't have because no one else was interested. So I don't know. Any final thoughts on this album, Felicity?
Oh, you know, I'm just a fan. I think I would recommend this or really any Baja Marimba Band album for your, you know, low-key percussive needs. And it's like, I would say this is like, you know, some people think that Herb Alpert is like a little bit over the top, which, okay, maybe he is. That brass section is pretty serious. But if you want like the feeling of a Herb Alpert album with like a little bit less intensity, like Baja Marimba Band is your jam.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good, I mean, Baja Marimba Band is a good band to like play for your young children too. I feel like it's fun and something that, you know, is like they can dance to or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
Nobody's kids want to listen to Baja Marimba Band, pretty sure. And be like, put on the Taylor Swift. Oh my gosh, probably Taylor Swift even isn't cool anymore. I'm so old.
All right. Well, for more, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/42. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Living in Hi-Fi. For a longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, we have one of my favorite all-time favorite sort of Brazilian-American crossover records. This is something that was recorded in Brazil by an American artist. So maybe that's what makes the difference. So we'll find out next week. So thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.